Praise God. I want to minister this evening for a few minutes on why it is so important to read your Bible. Amen. Sounds like maybe a simple message or a little overly simple, but not in the least is it simple. Amen. It is of the utmost importance. And you know what? There's a lot of reasons why. There's a lot of powerful reasons why we need to read the Word of God. Amen. We need to, from cover to cover, read it. Whether you're 1 year Bible through every morning, proverb a day keeps the devil away, whatever it is. Amen. To get into that Word of God, to understand it for your whole life. Praise God. It is of the utmost importance tonight. And I was going to look at a few reasons, believe God to help us tonight, because it is an area of great neglect. Great neglect. I know, even myself, I've gone, you know, there's been times it's like, I haven't read my Bible in a while. It's, you know, all right, see where I'm at. You know, but no, it needs to be something different. It needs to be like every time we open it up, it's a treasure hunt. And there's something great, something powerful to be discovered. Amen. Of God, of the plan of God, of the things of God that will be a blessing to our life and to His kingdom. Amen. Turn to your Bibles, if you would, this evening to Proverbs chapter 4. I'll read just a few verses here. And all right, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, if you're there, say amen. All right, I'm still hearing pages. Okay, here we go. Verse 20 of Proverbs chapter 4. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. That last verse there, familiar to us, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life, is again something we hear a lot, but it's connected to the first part there of the Word being in our heart and kept before our eyes and what it does. Because it's with the Word is one of the things God's given us to keep our heart. Amen, is His Word. And so there's a few reasons that I want to look at tonight that are, again, very important for us of why it is, you know, we need to get into the Word of God. You know, I got a lot of Bibles. I like having a lot of Bibles. Amen. Pastor said he likes having a lot of Bibles, and then I felt a lot better because I like having a lot of Bibles too. Amen. And there's some good ones. There's some good study Bibles. And there's some good ones in there's some translations that are good and some translations that are better. But you know, it's the Word of God is precious. It's precious. Amen. It's the light to our path. It shows us where we're going. It shows us what has taken place. You know, within the Word of God, we find out everything that we need to know about what God has done, what God is doing, and what God is gonna do. Amen. Everything that we need to live a victorious life and understand the plan of God is right here in this Bible. Everything that we need to stay on the straight and narrow. Jesus said, narrow is the way that leads life. How many of you read that? How many of you realize, you know what? It's narrower than I thought it was. Amen. It's narrow. And it's the Word of God that shines light on that narrow way, that keeps us on that narrow way, that brings direction to us, that lays a foundation of what it is that we're supposed to be doing and how we're supposed to do it. Amen. And it's of the utmost importance. The first thing that I want to look at tonight is deception. The Bible, the Word of God will keep us from deception. Deception's a powerful thing. Deception is a powerful thing. You know what? I'm not going to talk about in the world. I'm going to look at in the church tonight. In the church world, it would blow your mind some of the things that take place in churches, groups that call themselves the church, what they do under the name of the church, what it is that they teach and preach in the name of God. It would blow your minds. You know, if this is where you've spent your whole Christian life and where you've learned and you've been taught and grown up, you know, it would be disturbing to go into some places. I'm not trying to knock everybody else down. We're not the only ones preaching the gospel. But you know what? There is a great shortage of gospel preaching churches in this nation. A great shortage of them. Churches that will preach the gospel. Jesus Christ crucified, died, buried, and risen from the dead. That is the gospel. Amen. There's a great shortage of people that will preach that as the way of salvation, as the only hope, as the only way that they can be forgiven of their sins, the only way to be saved, and call and challenge people to make a decision for that very thing. There is a great shortage of that in our nation. Numerous times in the Word of God, we're warned, be not deceived. Be not deceived. You know, one of the things that that tells me is it puts it on me a little bit. Because I'm told, hey, don't be deceived. You know what that tells me? It tells me that I have something to do with this not being deceived business. And I don't know about you, but from the time I got saved, I began to get before God because you know what? I felt overwhelmed. Coming into church, seeing all these things going on, people speaking in tongues, I'm like, oh man, this is different. This is way out there. And I didn't, you know what? I knew nothing. Amen. And I began to get before God and say, Lord, help me not to be deceived. Help me not to be led, astray down some weird path. It's not because I read a lot of books or did this or do. It was because God helped me and kept me. Amen. It was because God directed my steps. It was because the Spirit of God came in and began to open up the pages of this awesome book. Amen. To where it began. And you know what? It's 30 years in the making and it's life, the rest of my lifetime more. Amen. But it comes together, begins to fit, begins to make sense. As God shines the light on it. Amen. Don't be deceived. Numerous times the Bible also says, makes this statement, that the scripture might be fulfilled. That the scripture might be fulfilled. You'll see that phrase numerous times in the Gospels, in the New Testament. That the scripture might be fulfilled. You know what that tells me? Everything God did, he told us he's going to do. Amen. He's given us the understanding, the insight to know what his plan is, what it is that he's doing. Enough for us to have all the hope that we need, to have the understanding that we need. Of course, there'll be great, much more, the other side of heaven that we'll understand. But hey, we got what we need right now. Bible speaks of a time, and we don't have to just wait till that time, a time of strong delusion being sent, great deception coming upon. And you know what? That's coming, but there's deception, and there always has been deception in the church world since the book of Acts up to the day of deception, the devil coming in, trying to knock things off course, twist people's understanding, divert people. And you know what? It works. It's successful because people don't read their Bible. Amen. They just flat out don't read it. And it can't be that way. We're coming into desperate times. Desperate times. You know, there have been revivals that have broken out to where if you know the Word of God, you can look and by the Holy Ghost, you can say, you know what, that's a genuine move of God. And others you can look at that claim and you can say, you know what, I don't think that's of God. And there'll be a lot of things that pop up here and there and this great thing happening there and this great thing happening there. But you know what? We got to know what the Word says. We got to be full of the Holy Ghost to be able to discern, to be able to know what's going on, what God's doing and what he's not doing. Deception is a powerful thing. I want to read an article that I came across. Called Bad Religion. I think that kind of, you know what, I found this picture and that was connected to the article and I thought, that's it right there. Amen. I you know, when I read these things, I find them sad. I find them troubling. But unfortunately, I believe that they're accurate. In a survey of thousands of American Christians, just read you a little excerpts from this article. And these are American Christians, Western Christians. More than half in the survey indicated that Jesus was the first being created by God. 70% of the participants in a diverse variety of backgrounds believe that there is only one true God, but that he accepts worship from all religions. 70% of Christians. Two-thirds admit that everyone sins a little bit, but that still insisted that most people are good in their nature, which is a direct contradiction from the Word of God that says we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Amen. And like the Bible says, in me nothing good dwells. Amen. Nothing good dwells. 60% agree that everyone eventually goes to heaven. Everyone eventually goes to heaven. 7 in 10 evangelicals again said that Jesus was the first being created. 56% believe that the Holy Spirit is just a divine force, not a personal being. Two-thirds. This is the way it was worded. I'll just explain what it says. A higher percentage in the church than of the world at large believe that Jesus was a created being and that all will go to heaven. All will go to heaven. So in other words, there's some sinners out there that have more sense about a couple of things than people in the churches. 2 out of 5 believe that worshiping alone or with your family is a valid replacement for regularly attending church. The author noted that what he finds in the mega-type churches is a Bible-less alternative version of Christianity. He says the Scripture to them is nothing more than a museum exhibit, hallowed treasure, but enigmatic and not touched. The Bible remains phenomenally popular. Of course, practically everyone has one in his or her home. Many families have 4 or 5. Like me. But he characterizes our love for the Bible as for an artifact, a keepsake, or a lucky rabbit's foot. It sits on the mantle next to Grandpa's ashes, untouched. One reason, he says, is that there are multitudes of people sitting in churches who are not saved and do not even believe the doctrines of the church. Welcome. As he concludes, welcome to the new post-Christian America. We have become either nations of heretics or nations of ignoramuses, or both. Amen. That's the condition of a good portion of the church world. One other separate article, much shorter, I'll get through. This is Christian clergy bless the new abortion clinic as sacred space. Christian clergy joined other religious leaders in celebrating and blessing the opening of a new mega abortion clinic in Washington, D.C., calling it a sacred work. The director of Planned Parenthood says she plans to tell patients that the abortion facility is a blessed space and that those of faith also support your decision. This confirms the sacredness of what we do. The understanding of abortion as a sin of murder is not my brand of Christianity, and it is far from representing the true tenets of the person of Jesus Christ. That's what's around us in this world. That's what's rising up to say, this is Christianity. That's what's rising up to look at a church like this and other churches that preach the gospel and say, you know what? Those radical fruitcakes, don't listen to them. Redefining of what Christianity is. And people fall for it hook, line, and sinker because they do not bother to read this. If people read the Word of God, if people got into it and devoted themselves to study and to learning, they would vacate these places. They would get up and walk out. They would say, you know what? I want to go somewhere where they're preaching the gospel. That's what we need. That's the only thing that will save people. Only the truth saves. Only the truth sets people free. Not a belief system. But just the truth. You know, I can't help but remind myself that Jesus said, narrow is the way. You know, we want everybody to get saved. He wants everybody to get saved. But he said, narrow is the way. He said, few find it. Few. But praise God for those few. The second area tonight that I want to look at of what the Word of God does for us, it's so valuable. The first, it will keep you. It will keep you from deception, from being led off course, from falling for the lies of the devil, from foolishness. Some of the things are absurd, but people, anyway. The second area is it will deliver from double-mindedness. Amen. It will deliver from double-mindedness. That's a trouble, a problem that we all wrestle with from time to time. James in chapter 1 says that the double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. There is an instability that comes from being double-minded. And so I'll talk about it here in just a second. What the unstable means is insubordinate, unruly, and inconsistent. And it's the way many Christian walks are. And you know what? We've all felt that and gone through that at times of the up and down. You know what? One day we just feel like we can walk on water. Amen. We've got the spring in our step. We're going along all good. And the next day, you know what? We feel lower than snake dung and wagon tracks. I'll tell you. It's an up and down and a roller coaster ride. I don't like being on that. I don't know about you. I don't like going through that. I don't like feeling that way. You know, it's just some bombardment of thoughts against your mind, and all of a sudden you're worried, and all of a sudden you're fearful, and all of a sudden you're discouraged, and all of a sudden you just want to quit. Why do we see so many people, their lives shipwrecked because of this arena of things? Double-mindedness, literally translated, means twice soulish, is what it means. Twice soulish. Double-minded. And the thought comes from, or another word used is a divided heart. A divided heart. The divided heart occurs when your spirit is reaching out in faith and your soul is reaching out in unbelief. There's that battle going on. One is torn between the carnal and the spiritual, between this life and the life to come. Divided heart will have dual interests, dual desires, and dual affections. Traits are an unstable person exhibited in the result of the soul of the individual ruling in the person's life. They might attend church. They might be involved. They could be considered soulish, not spiritual. Not spiritual. It's when our mind determines. See, the Bible says the just shall live by faith. That we live by faith, not by sight. You know, simply put, it's not all this deep, complex stuff. Simply put, the spiritual person lives by faith. The soulish person lives by sight. The spiritual person does not live by emotions. The soulish person is ruled by emotions. Ruled by them. Everybody is bombarded with things like fear and discouragement and things like that. But the spiritual person, because of the Word of God and the Spirit of God, will rise above them, will rise above them. The soulish person is trampled by them and crushed under them. The solution to double-mindedness is the Word of God. We read a familiar verse, Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Familiar verse, you know, most have heard it many times. Division of soul and spirit. You know, we're three part, by the way, in case you're not following me. We're spirit, soul, and body, okay? Spirit, soul, and body. And the spirit... You know, I like to, just a simple little illustration I use. You know, we like that song, How Great Thou Art, right? We sing that, How Great Thou Art. The spirit in a person who's born again will lift your hands and sing to God, How Great Thou Art. The soul in us wants to look in the mirror and say, How Great Thou Art. Amen. And the flesh doesn't want to sing at all. Amen. That kind of, you know, gives you a little separation there. Piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. Division being a separation for distinction and clarification. Simply put, the Word of God will come in, amen, and say, soul, sit down, shut up, and take your place. Spirit, be fed. Jesus said, we live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. The Word of God feeds the Spirit in us. It's food. It feeds the Spirit. And so it comes in, soul, sit down, shut up, keep your place. Spirit, rise up and lead. Amen. But it's a daily battle. That soul wants to rise back up again, saying, I'm in charge. I'm afraid. I don't believe. I'm all about me. I'm egocentric. Just in case you haven't figured it out, when we were born again, the spirit and the flesh were not born again. Amen. The spirit was. James 1:21 says, therefore lay aside all filthiness, overflow of wickedness. Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Which is able to save your souls. In other words, it's not that particular which is able to save your souls is not being born again, but it's which is able to keep your soul, to renew your mind, to renew it. So you can avoid this roller coaster, wild ride, crazy, bizarre thoughts that lead you to do weird and crazy and foolish things, but can keep you on a straight and narrow. Keep you on a straight and narrow. Psalm 86:11. Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. Interesting word used by the psalmist. Unite my heart to fear your name. In other words, as the word of comes in, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, it organizes things the way it's supposed to be. I don't want to be carnally minded. I have been, just like all of you. I don't want to be carnally minded, ruled by that emotion and fear and all of that unstable stuff. I like to be stable, consistent. I'm going to believe God. I don't want hype. I don't want motivational speakers. Amen. I want God's word that changes me on the inside. Receive with meekness. Meekness. We realize that this is power. This is power. Receive it. It's implanted. It's sown in us. Receive it. The soulish person has an incessant need to be able to boast in self-righteous accomplishments. This boasting takes many different forms, is a master of disguise, hiding in a multitude of religious rituals, ordinances, and traditions. Self-righteousness of the soul will always persecute the righteousness of the spirit. It'll always persecute it. Amen. The soulish will always rise up, persecute the spiritual. It's the way it is. It's the way it is. You can read about it in Galatians chapter 4. That which was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit. There's a renewal that takes place in the mind of the Christian. It's not an overnight thing. You know what? It's a lifetime thing. It's a lifetime thing. A renewal, making new, keeping things in proper place. Keeping things in proper order. It's the Spirit that hears from God. Amen. Jesus said, the words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. They are life. These very words, this word is life to us. It's life to us. Amen. It's not just about learning a little bit of history. It's not just about coming up with a couple of verses we can put on our calendar or something like that. It is life to us. It's life to us. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth, Jesus said. Your word is truth. James said, purify your hearts, you double-minded, in James chapter 4. Purify your hearts. Like the psalmist said, unite my heart, Lord, to fear you. There's a powerful work that takes place when we read the Word of God. It's more than just understanding doctrine or theology or something like that. See, the Word of God, it has to be read, it has to be believed, and it has to be proclaimed. Amen. It has to be read. There's some people, the only word you get is when you sit out there and the preacher reads his opening scripture. That's it. That isn't enough. That isn't enough. You know what is fun? It's fun to do. You fix yourself a nice cup of coffee. Amen. Get up early in the morning. Spend some time in prayer. Hopefully you got a time when, you know what, either the kids aren't up yet or they're gone. You get that nice cup of coffee and you sit down, get your Bible. It's quiet. Just begin to read. It's wonderful. Amen. Coffee helps too. Praise God. Amen. It's good. It's good time. It's good time. But you see, when we're going through it, when we're discouraged, when we're frustrated, when we're beat down, you know what? It's like being weak. It's like being worn out. And instead of refueling that spirit, we allow the flesh, the soul, to be fueled and take over. We feed the worry with more worry. We feed the fear with more fear. We feed the frustration by letting everybody know how frustrated we are. Amen. It fuels it. It's got to be brought into place. It's got to be brought into proper place. It has its purpose. It has its place. But its place is not to rule our life. The flesh cannot rule our life. The soul cannot rule our life. The spirit, our spirit, with the Holy Spirit, must rule. Amen. Must rule. To be carnally minded is what? Death. Death. People are dying. People are dying that live under a constant bombardment of carnal, crazy, wild thinking. They're dying. They're dying. To be carnally minded is death. If you'll take your Bible and get down and say, you know what? It says, I've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Praise God. I like reading those things. I like reminding myself of it, if nobody else. I've been taken from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. I've been redeemed, amen, by the blood of the Lamb. I read it in the Word of God. I read it. You know what? 1 John 1:9, if I confess my sin, He's faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. So I can get up and say, you know what? I repent. I'm cleansed. I'm cleansed. And on and on and on and on it goes. Whatever it is that wherever we're at, whatever it is we're going through, the Word of God speaks to what we're going through. The Word of God speaks to where we're at. Apostle Paul said, I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. The inward man is the spirit. I delight in it. We need the Word of God. Amen. We need the Word of God. We need to read it every day. We need to study it. Praise God. There's so much good things out there. You know, I was thinking about this, and I thought of countries that don't even have a Bible. I just thought of that. There's some countries that do not have the Bible in their language. Not a book, not a Christian bookstore. Amen. Pretty much nothing. Nothing. In their own native language. I can go anywhere. I can get my phone out right now, order anything I want on Amazon, be at my house in a couple days. Praise God, I love it. I'm good with it. But amen. I got to realize the importance, the preciousness of it. Amen. Of how wonderful the Word of God is. And in closing, if our musicians would come, if you're here tonight and you're struggling with a lot of mental battles, a lot of questions. Maybe it's why do we do this? Why do we believe that? Why this? Why that? You know, the Bible provides the answers. You might have to dig in, but the answers are there. But if you're here and you're struggling with a lot of emotional ups and downs, tormented by fear, worry, frustrations, anger, these emotions, these wild imaginations that take you on some crazy journeys in your mind, some crazy places, some bizarre places, some unclean places, some unrighteous places. Your mind takes you there, takes you on a trip, like a wild ride. It's like sometimes you take the chains off the imagination, and it's like the plane taking off at the airport. And all of a sudden, man, it's on a journey. And the mind is that way, going to all sorts of places it don't need to be going, imagining all kind of things that it doesn't need to be thinking about. The spirit needs to rise up and say, you get in your place. We're going to believe God. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to trust God. God's word is true. I'm going to do the will of God. I'm victorious in Jesus. I'm going to be part of His kingdom. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to win souls for God. Amen. Put things in order. That's what the Word of God will do in our lives. Can you say amen? Praise God. Let's bow our heads if we could. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, I believe it's pretty simple, really. I mean, you can make it complicated, but it doesn't have to be that way. We all understand what it's like to have the mind battles and things going on. We all have been there, every one of us. But you know what? We also understand what it's like when we've come to church and we've lifted our hands and we've worshiped God and we've prayed and we've been in the presence of God. We've heard the Word of God. We know what it's like to feel, you know, that uplifting, to feel that way. We don't have to walk out the door and be like diving off a cliff. It doesn't have to be that way. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I say it honestly in compassion. I know as much as any, I promise you, the tormenting battles of the mind. the condemnation, the guilt, the frustrations, the defeat, the lies of the devil that just bombard and torment. I know what that feels like. But I know what it's like also to come to Jesus. I know what it's like to say, Lord, thank you for your precious blood. Thank you for your precious word. Thank you for your precious spirit. Hallelujah. And to have all those things lifted away. And to get up with just a clarity and a peace on my mind. That's valuable for us all here tonight. Before we go to that part, how many in this service you'd say, you know what? I'm not saved. I need Jesus. I need his forgiveness. I need his mercy. I need him to wash all my sins away that I could be saved, that I could be with him for eternity, that I'd not have to go to hell. I could go to heaven and be with him. That's what he died on that cross for. How many you say, you know what, that's right where I'm at tonight. Just slip up your hand, put it up, say, pray for me. Pray for me. God bless you tonight. God bless you. Say, I need to be saved. I need his forgiveness. Just slip up your hand. Say, pray for me tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Maybe you're here tonight and some of the mind battles that I'm talking about, they just so beat you down. Nobody's condemning you because we've all been there. I'm extending you a lifeline saying, just come back because I know what God can do. I know what God wants to do. He wants to meet you here tonight and bring a new peace and a new joy like you haven't had in a long time. Hallelujah. But those things have so beat you down, you just, not only have you thought about throwing in the towel, you have thrown in the towel. You have quit in your mind. Come back to Jesus tonight. If that's you, you know, I want to pray for you tonight. Just slip up your hand. Say, pray for me. That's where I'm at tonight. God bless you. God bless you, honest hearts, tonight. Hallelujah. We're going to take a moment. We're going to open up this altar and spend a little bit of time before God. Amen. Maybe it's just simply, you know what, there's been a neglect of his word in your life. Whatever it might be, whatever it is God spoke to you about tonight, let's seize this opportunity before we dismiss. Let's spend some time before God. Amen. What we need is what God can do. What we need is a miracle from God. Amen. He can touch the part of the person that no one else can touch tonight in this place. Hallelujah. Just step up out of your seat. Why don't we all stand? Hallelujah. We're going to sing a song. Step up out of your seat. Come down, find a place before the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. The failures, the worries, the stresses, the anxieties, the things that torment you. Bring them before the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Let the peace of God fall upon these tonight, O Lord. The peace of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
Holy Spirit. Satisfied.